firefighter got within me, and as I meditated, the fire burned, and I spoke with my tongue.
Okay, thank you very much. Another translation, Bob?
Yes, my heart became hot within me. As I mused, the fire burned, and I spoke with my tongue.
As I mused, the fire burned. What's that saying? Yes, Steve?
Another version. It's a complete Jewish Bible. My heart grew hot within me whenever I thought of it. The fire burned. Then, at last, I let my tongue speak.
Now, isn't that interesting? While I muse, the fire burned. What is happening in this guy's mind as he's sitting there thinking, reading, meditating, praying? What's happening? If the fire burns, then what happens as a result of that? Then I what? He's what? He's got to speak. Really? Okay.
Overwhelmed.
What's that?
He was overwhelmed.
Different groups have seen the matter of prayer and Bible study and meditation in different ways. The New Testament era of the church is built on two things in addition to Bible and prayer, the Lord's Supper and small cell groups. Wesley added a fifth work of piety to this four, coming up with five by adding fasting. The medieval mystics wrote about nine disciplines clustered around the purging of sin, the enlightenment of the spirit, and the union with God. Westminster Keswick Convention dwelled on five different religious exercises. The bottom line is that all of them have prayer and Bible intake. Here you've got Bible intake, and then as a result of God talking to us, then there's meditation, and that results in praying. That results in talking to God. He talks to us, then we talk back to Him. And there is no cheap way. There is no cheap way to this right here. But you've met people. I have met people. I thought, how did the world, that guy, become so sweet? How did that older woman become so precious? How did it happen? Well, it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in, you know, I'm really going to be spiritual now this week. I'm just going to take all kinds of progress and I'm going to just make a leap here, a quantum leap. No. Slowly, slowly, bit by bit, year by year by year. These people have had divine beauty treatments, divine attitude beauty treatments that just make them pleasant to be around, aren't they? Aren't there some people, now think for a moment, aren't there some people that you just love being around, right? Mentally right now, think of them. Just don't name them, but just think about them. Who do you like to be with? And is it because they're godly people? They remind you of God. It's like they've stepped out of God's presence. How did they get that way? How can we be that? It's not rocket science, you know. It's basic. It's praying for the purpose of godliness. It's discipline, isn't it? And discipline is doing what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it. Can you say that with me? Discipline is doing what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it. It's real easy, you know? It's just real obvious. Okay, so what's happening in this guy's mind as he's reading your Psalms 39, verse 3? Talk to me about that verse. Talk to the class. Teach the class for a moment. Tell us what's in your heart from that text. He's worked up about it. Okay. All right. Again, the NIV says, my heart grew hot within me, and as I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. First, he's going to keep his tongue from sin in verse 1. I'll put a muzzle on my mouth as long as the wicked are in my presence. When I was silent still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. I just was like a shaken Coke, you know, just, you know, bubbling out. My heart grew hot within me. And as I meditated, what is it to meditate? What is meditation?
It's taking something and just thinking on it and trying to look at the different aspects of it. to really try to understand, you know, what is being said or being thought. Because when I read this, I think about all the foolish things that I've said, you know, where you just spout off and you don't think about it and you don't meditate on it and you don't put it in perspective as far as the Word of God goes. You just put it out there.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, Bob?
Okay, that word muse.
Nice big voice. Can you hear over there?
Yeah.
Ruth, can you hear?
The word muse, to become absorbed in thought.
Muse, to become absorbed in thought.
Absorbed in thought. So he's just, I mean, it's like, he says, to think about something carefully and thoroughly.
To think about something carefully and thoroughly, okay? You interview the text. You ask questions of the text. Who was it written to? Who's writing? What's the circumstance? What's the situation? Yes, sir.
Just look at the Strong's word. It's that the Hebrew word is there. And there's a sense of vocalizing the word. So when I'm musing, you could also say groaning, murmuring, whispering. So there's an invitation to vocalize. And as you said last week, you know, say it so that I hear it. But that loop is somewhat embedded in the word that's used there.
Okay. You remember this loop thing that he mentioned? You remember I suggest you know, you're reading it, so you know it comes in your eye up your brain. Your brain tells your mouth to say it. It goes out. Your ear hears it. It goes back. And you kind of complete that loop, and it reinforces it. And it just helps you to linger on it and chew on it. You remember the requirement of the animals that were clean and unclean? The ones that didn't chew the cud weren't clean. But those who chewed the cud, you know, it goes down once, it comes back up, chew it some more. When we study the scriptures, we chew on the scriptures. We let it sit there. We let it percolate. We let it penetrate. We let it soak in, you know? You know, when we read the scriptures, that's like dipping a tea bag once or twice. Then when you muse on the scriptures, that's like dipping it 4, 5, 6 times. Then when you memorize the scriptures, that's like just throwing the whole thing in there and let it steep for 10 minutes, you know?
And what?
It's
indelible.
But he's right, you know, it becomes indelible. You can't remove it.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever put cut up blackberries on your counter, your Formica counter? And the juice sits there for 15, 20 minutes for some reason. You don't get to it. You may have a stain that, I don't know if bleach would take it out or not, but the point is we want to be stained with, you know, like Spurgeon said, you know, if somebody bleeds me, it cuts me, I want to bleed a Bible verse, you know. We need to work at that. We need to, we just need to work at that. We need to work at praying. Can I be very honest with you? And I'm believe me, I got one going out at you. I got three sitting back at me. When prayer requests are given, I don't see many people writing them down. I know sometimes I'm eating, sometimes you're eating. I know we lean on Tony. Oh, he'll send them out. He'll write them out and spell everything right and get all right. I missed about 4 or 5 requests because I just couldn't hear them. And I couldn't write that fast. But it troubles me when I don't see too many people writing them down. If you don't write them down, how are you going to pray for them, you know? How are we going to connect with each other if we don't enter each other's lives by writing down the requests? And of course, once you write them down, that's only the show stuff. See, we got to go home and pray. So what's happening in this guy's mind and heart as he's musing here? Yes.
There's a still, small, quiet voice within him that was there from the working it.
Uh-huh.
And he's getting overwhelmed.
Okay.
It's like the disciples that Jesus walked with after the resurrection did not our hearts burn within us. You know.
On the road to Emmaus.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And he's just caught up. You know, nothing else can get in. So he's meditating on the Lord.
Mm-hmm. He's letting it simmer. He's letting it percolate. He's letting it soak into his soul. He's taking time. And I suggested to you last week that the way we spell love for God is T-I-M-E. Time that you invest in communing with God is not wasted time. Don?
There's also a part of meditation is more than just understanding what the scriptures say, but it's also, you know, internalizing and considering, all right, what does this mean for me? What are there some things, you know, some application questions come to mind as to what in the process of meditating is to try to understand, all right, what is God trying to say to me?
So you're saying, Lord, this is for me. I'm expecting you to speak to my heart as you sit down with your Bible, right? We need to have an attitude of expectation. There's going to be something there that's going to be a blessing to rejoice in. There's going to be a truth to revel in. There's going to be a command to obey. There's going to be a sin to avoid. There's going to be an example to follow. There's going to be something of the character of God that I need to latch onto that would nourish my nourish me, enable me to be obedient to Him today. I'm going to enjoy the Lord today. Now, we can be prayer optimists. God's going to meet me today. Does He always meet me? No. Are there dry times? Yeah. I mean, I read my Bible, and I assure you, there's no halo that comes on. You know, I don't float. I don't levitate. You know, I haven't seen the face of Jesus in the clouds. But over the weeks and over the months, as we simply read the Scriptures, as we meditate, we think about the Scriptures, we pray back to God. We respond back to God. We look for a command to obey, a sin to avoid, an example to follow, a truth to rejoice in. There is an effect that will quietly and silently settle over a person's heart and mind. And there will be a quiet transformation. At Pentecost, I could see the cloven tongues over Mark's head or over Larry's head, but I couldn't see them over my head. You know, we've all been in the picture. Do you run up somebody like this, you know? Well, there were cloven tongues of fire over, unless there were mirrors in the room, you couldn't see it over your own head, but you could see it over somebody else's head, right? We can sense in a person's life, when they're in touch with God, there's a perfume about them. While I mused, the fire burned, and then I spoke. I want to suggest to you that musing, that meditating, that what was your definition, Bob? Think thoroughly and chew on it. I want to suggest that while you're doing that, as you're asking God to nourish your heart and your mind, you're asking Him to help you, that I think that God will do that. And you do too, or you wouldn't be sitting in those chairs. I know you do. Amen?
Amen.
You do. You do believe that. I think God will bring projects to your mind. I think God will bring ideas to your mind. I think God will help you. I think the Lord will encourage you and nourish you. While you muse, the fire burns. Man, what a picture, right? Fire is it's a mysterious thing, isn't it? Fire is a mysterious thing. How do you strike a match and there's this thing that, wow, it just kind of flames different ways, and like flames are licking opposite. You know, you think about the wind that blows, the picture of the Holy Spirit, John 3. Fire is kind of a mysterious thing, isn't it? While you burn, while you meditate, while you think, while you muse, the fire burned. Tony, Bob's first, then you're second, Larry. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Whatever he got in, he's now regurgitating. It's beneficial and edifying for whoever he may be speaking to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Larry, thank you.
Well, this is what I'm getting out of the last part of this. The fire burned, then I spoke with my tongue. What it sounds like to me, the Spirit has come upon him. The Spirit of the Lord literally came upon him. So he was forced to speak with his tongue, to speak what the Lord has put upon him. And it sounds like he was speaking in a group, maybe?
Well, he's speaking to someone. We don't know if
because,
we got.
Because he says that's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like he's like with a group of people. So that's like what. Then I spoke with my tongue. So it's like the Spirit came upon him.
Mm-hmm.
And he spilled it out.
Mm-hmm.
To elaborate what that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I didn't know it. It's important to note there's a colon at the end of the tongue. So if you look at verse 4, it gives you context.
Yes.
That's what he spoke.
That's what he was thinking. That was what he was thinking about. That's what was burning.
And that's what he spoke.
I said, I will watch my ways, verse 1, and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth as long as the wicked are in my presence. But when I was silent still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me, and as I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days, and let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Selah. Stop and think. Selah. Well, here's a very interesting passage. And the Lord, I just love that word picture. As I meditated, the fire burned, then I spoke. We have great opportunities. We have great privileges as American Christians, as people who know the Scriptures, as people who sit every week and listen to an excellent expositor open the Scriptures to us. We are privileged, I am privileged, to know, to have as many copies of the Bible as I have and to have, you know, have a Bible that I can read. So praying. Give us an example of how God has answered a prayer for you. Yes, in 2 minutes or less.
It'll be quick.
Thank you.
My wife, we got married in 1981. We couldn't have children. We went to all the infertility. They said it wasn't going to happen. We prayed. Uh-huh. And God answered our prayer.
And in spades, did he not?
Yes.
sure. And you have nine children.
Nine children.
Uh-huh.
That was definitely...
Can anybody beat that? Anybody got 10?
The world said it wasn't possible.
Yes.
The doctors, the medical society said, they told us to seek adoption. And you need to give God credit where God deserves credit.
Sometimes the Lord does those things. Sometimes he withholds children. And the great challenge is to be content, whether you've got a baseball team or whether you don't. After we've prayed and committed things to God so we know clearly that it's his will, then we relax and we trust. Thank you very much. Excellent illustration. Someone else? Yes, Mark.
So 4th of July, maybe in 73, real cold, north wind, raining, and my sister fell in the St. Clair River. She's 5 years old, and I jumped in after her, fully dressed, had a grown man suede coat on, and every time I pulled her up, she pulled me under, and we're both going to drown for sure. 7 mile current, 30 foot deep water, and I yelled up at the sky, God help us. And it was like I got spun around, looked toward shore, there's these two men throwing their clothes off, came and got us. And I know that before I even got to shore, I knew if I would have said, God help me, we both would have drowned. I said, God help us.
Thank you.
Probably 10. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm. God does not always answer. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait a while. Sometimes it's your attitude and motive need a little refining here. You know, we're going to add a little attitude beauty treatment here yet. We've got a little ways to go. Sometimes he answers in ways that do not connect with You know, we pray about spiritual things, and there's an answer that is not seemingly connected with what we feel would be appropriate. Jesus said, fill the water pots with water. They said, no, hey, we got to have wine at a wedding. We don't have water, you know. Fill the water pots with water, idiot. You know, I'm going to do something here. Hello? He's going to do something different than the way we plan it, you see. But there are times when the living God steps into our lives, and there is simply no way to prove this to unsaved people. There's no way to make them feel the power of that in such a way that they respond. And that's a wonderful answer to prayer. That you can, you know, Elijah went for the, Elijah ate, and then he laid down and slept. Then he ate some more, and he went in the strength of that a long ways. You have gone in the strength of that prayer a long ways. I have a few, you have a few. Yes, Tracy.
Just an example of how we don't, sometimes things happen that we don't want to happen. Of course, my first marriage ended in, you know, divorce. He committed adultery, would not quit. So I was devastated, to say the least.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But I prayed, and God in my heart, He knew that I wanted a man that I could serve the Lord with.
Mm-hmm. That's a
big prayer.
Big prayer.
Even when I told him no. I told him no to the extent that when we were starting to date, I told him right at the beginning, I just said, Lord, I'm not going to date till my girls are out of high school because it's too weird. You know, they're dating and I'm dating. It's like, no, that doesn't work. But God had other plans, and His plan is perfect.
His plans were good. You may not like the individual chapters, but you'll like the book.
It's been hard. I was, you know, second marriages are very hard, but God has answered my prayer, and then I have a man who loves me and loves the Lord, and we serve Him together.
That's precious, man. That's great. Yes, Jerry. Yes, sir. Please. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Kathy. Yes. Yes, sir.
Pat and I technically shouldn't be here today.
Really?
Because we had this plan to move to Oklahoma. And I don't know how many people believe in guardian angels, per se. I don't know. I believe in angels, for sure. Well, yeah. And I normally don't tell this story very much, but we had an old red Volkswagen van. We were driving to Oklahoma. All our junk, and she's sound asleep, and I fell asleep at the wheel.
I agree, you shouldn't be here.
No, I shouldn't be here. And I, honest to goodness, to this day, I know that somebody yelled in my ear, Bill.
Whoa.
Just like it was right there.
It wasn't me.
And it was not her. And I know to this day. I was
Have you yelled at other times?
I've yelled Bill at other times.
Every time I tell this story, I'm always blown away by it. I keep it in the back of my head quite a bit. It's so real. It was so real when it happened, it just freaked me out. It was like somebody was in the band with me. It was so real.
Somebody was.
I can't stress that enough. Somebody yelled right at my ear, Bill. And I just went... And I looked over her, she was sound asleep, and I was just kind of, the car was still on the road, I don't know why. Well, maybe he had the wheel, you know, that's all.
Between Tulsa and Oklahoma City, that's all I
somewhere,
can say.
Yeah, somewhere.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing us into your lives. Yes, Mike?
Yeah, you were talking about how, you know, prayers aren't always answered, at least not the way that we want them to be answered. And for all these years, I became a Christian after we got married, and that's where the battle began in my marriage. But, you know, through all this, I've always asked God to save my wife, save my tears. But he's been, I don't know what the end result will be, none of us do. But I do know that now, right now, in this moment, in this time, that he's working in my heart to sanctify, to bring me closer to him,
mm-hmm.
to rely on him more and more and more. And my prayer still is, you know, God, save my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Bring her into the kingdom. No illusions, you know, it doesn't mean you'll have a better marriage or perfect kids or anything like that, but just to lean on him more, that is such a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to be complacent, and not to sit down and say, oh, well, you know, everything is what it is, or whatever people say.
Mm-hmm.
It is what God says it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's moving me forward day by day.
Good. Do pray for Laura as you think of Mike. And Mackenzie, of course, is here at church, young lady. And then there are some other children, Connor and Chelsea and Anthony. And
Anthony's my son-in-law, and Brandon.
And Brandon, yeah.
Yeah.
Real quick, then I want to 2-3 verses to prayer promises to give you, and then we need to go. Say that again, Mike. I'm sorry.
The board behind you says prayer for the purpose of godliness, and as Mike was just giving his testimony, that's exactly what he just described about himself. He's getting to know God more. He's seeking him and relying on him more.
Amen.
It's a tough situation, but he is those words right there, developing into Christ's life.
Amen. Would you look at the last comment? Then I got to get 4 quick verses, and we got to go.
Prayer and unanswered prayer. It says in Thessalonians, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
So thank you.
As we pray for things and they don't happen, we have to remember that verse. That
read it again. Read it again.
You know, the answer may be no, it may be wait. Again, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Thank you.
Thessalonians 5:18.
And then the verse just before it says, pray without ceasing. What does that, I just got to talk about that for a second. What does it mean, pray without ceasing? What could that mean?
Have a thought of prayer on your mind. Being able to talk to God.
Amen. Let me read you just a suggestion that came from Mr. Whitney. It is impossible to only pray. We have to work, sleep, eat, serve, etc. Even the Bible directs that we do many other things than pray. But it says pray continuously. What does that mean? It means that when talking with God or thinking about Him can't be in the forefront of our mind, it should always be peeking over the edge and ready to take the place of what you are concentrating on. We might think of praying without ceasing as communicating with God even while we have another conversation going on another line. Even while on the line with one, we do not lose the awareness of the desire to return to be on the more important call. So you got two calls going all the time. So praying without ceasing means that we never really cease conversing with God, but we have a lot of interruptions. I thought that was a good line. I wanted to make sure you got that. Would you look, please, at Psalms 91:15? Could somebody read that for us? These are prayer promises I want to stick in your heart before you go. Isaiah 65:24. Could someone else read Isaiah 65:24? Someone else take Luke 11:9. And lastly, somebody give us John 15:7. And then we need to scoot.
91:15?
I'm sorry?
91:15.
91:15, please.
When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him.
Okay, there's a prayer promise. He will hear you. He will respond. Okay? How about Isaiah 65:24, please? Thank you. And the next one is Luke 11:9, please.
Moreover, I myself say to you, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be opened to you.
Okay. Invitation there. And about John 15:7.
If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done.
Okay, let me read those verses again, so if anybody wants to write references down. God wants us to talk with him. He invites us. We have a royal invitation to meet with him. And very important for us. Psalms 91:15, Isaiah 65:24, Luke 11:9, and John 15:7. Next week, our subject, I really would really enjoy investing another week listening to you talking about your wonderful answers to prayer. Each of you have one or two or three or four or five that just stick out in your brain as outstanding examples of God's interruption into your life and protection and guidance. And those are just really, really precious. Thank you for sharing those. Very important. Others have them. We didn't have time to share, or you didn't share yet. I encourage you to share among yourselves. You know, maybe at our breakfast, Tony would give us a few minutes to continue this subject at the end of the month, or, you know, picnic or sometime we might be able to fellowship around that. Next week, our subject is worship. Please, I'm going to invite you to participate with me. I am growing in worship. I trust you're growing in worship. And if you will help me, if you will prepare to instruct me, that would really be kind of you to tell me what that means to you and how that's done and what happens there and what's the result of that. And Lord, be with David, we pray. And Eunice. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us, Father, to commune with you and to enjoy your company. As you speak to us in the Word and we listen and let the fire burn and then we speak back to you and we speak to others of the gospel. And we have plans and projects and things that you put in front of us that we want to do. To bring glory to you. Bless in the hour to follow, Father, wherever the scriptures are honored, this church, other churches, across the globe as the sun moves from east to west. May you be honored, Father. Help us to enjoy you now as we go to what we call formal worship, even though we know we can worship in our minds and hearts at all times. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.